Right now, it's the Observation Deck, brought to us by Man's Best Friend and McDonald's. Gordo is on vacation this week, so we have different guest stars in place of Gordo each day. Today, it's T.C. Fleming from Bad Radio. And good morning, T.C.
Good morning to you guys.
You ready to roll now? This isn't midday stuff. This is the big time. This is morning drive.
Yeah, listeners, huh?
That's right. Sleepy listeners, but listeners.
So, in the last couple weeks, I know that you guys like music. I'm not sure you're into this sort of thing, but there's a band called Bon Iver, and they recently came out with a new album. Their album before that, I got to be upfront with you guys. It's kind of gay. Like, I think their music would fit well in a Julia Roberts film.
Okay.
Or at least not be out of place. But it's really good still.
Like, are you an indie rocker, T.C.?
I guess so. I mean,
I saw you at the Flaming Lips, and you seem really excited to be there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep. No, I like the
That's
Flaming
like
Lips
right in your wheelhouse, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the name of the band?
Bon Iver. It's spelled B-O-N-I-V-E-R.
B-O-N-I-V-E-R.
And,
Oh, two words.
Yes. And, they released a new album, and got great reviews. I've listened to it. I absolutely love it. And about the same time that they released the album, they announced that they were going to be coming here. And not only coming here, but coming to the Windspear Opera House here. Mm. And I had, you know, long targeted if any band that I liked came through there. It would be really neat to see someone in that venue. I've never been inside of it. I heard you saw Sting there, right?
Yeah, it was great.
And I sounded like it was really awesome. So I really wanted to do that, and I was kind of shaky about the whole Windspear thing of it's a lot more fancy than most places I'm allowed to go.
You didn't know what to wear, that kind of thing?
Well, that and I just figured if it's for a more upscale sort of person, that it's probably more upscale prices.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
And, yeah, so I was very concerned that it wouldn't be, you know, $20 or something.
Sounds like he's hitting us up for tickets.
That's what it sounds like to me, too.
No. I got the tickets, but I have been losing sleep over it since, and it's my girlfriend. I have a girlfriend.
Whoa.
That's a bit of breaking news if you want to.
Okay. Well, who's the lucky lady?
I think you've been going out for a while, haven't you?
Jake. Yeah, it's actually it's about a year.
Almost a year?
She's never stripped before, no.
Even for you?
Highly doubtful.
Yeah,
oh,
you know.
TC.
Just normal stuff.
Okay.
Normal
just
stuff.
Normal stripping stuff?
Yeah.
But she also likes the band, and she said, you know, I had been looking for a nice gift to get you. I would love to buy these tickets for us, and we could go, and it'd be my treat. And I said, that sounds awesome. Was careful to note that the real treat is relieving me of the pressure of figuring all these things out, because buying tickets can be a pretty complicated process of, you know, I felt certain that these would sell out pretty quickly. So finding out when they're going to be released, setting aside time to be at a computer at exactly that time, it's all kind of a beating. And that's the real gift, is relieving you of that beating. So
figuring out which seats and all that.
Exactly.
That always throws me for a loop. You go to the seating chart and I wonder if that's slightly obstructed. It doesn't say.
Yeah.
Should I sit on the aisle? Should I not? Yeah, you're right. There is stress involved.
And that's what I wanted, was not to deal with that. So I just gave her some instructions of, you know, we want to be close. That would be ideal. you know, if it is too rich for your blood, the price, I'm certainly fine with subsidizing whatever you need, because, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So in retrospect, I think I was putting too much pressure on her there. But I woke up the next morning with 6 missed calls. There was all sorts of hand-wringing over just that they were almost more expensive than she thought that they would be. That the most expensive up at the front were $300, and that was, you know,
off.
That's not even something that we would consider. You know, we're poor folks. But she ended up getting some nice seats, like in the first row, one of the balconies. And the total for 2 tickets was $244.
Whoa.
Okay.
That is just crazy, right?
That's crazy.
Like, I had been awake and heard about that, I'm not sure that I would go that high. You know, I mean, we are of moderate means.
Let's see that contract.
Yeah, exactly. There is no contract. That's the issue with buying something like that. And it seemed like a lot of money to spend on anything for me. And Then she starts talking about one of her friends who also wanted to go, and she couldn't believe that she had bought them for only $40. That one ticket for her was $40, and I had kind of looked at the seating chart beforehand, and it seemed like theirs were better seats, and that was
really
the first time that I had a flag up of, I do not feel comfortable anymore. And as she's saying that, we were actually going through the grocery store, but I'm so nervous about these sort of things that I pull out my phone immediately and look at the email she forwarded me, and notice that it's not an email from the Windspear, it's from ticketboat.com.
Oh.
And I start asking more questions, and I get told, don't worry, it had a picture of the Windspear on the website.
No.
And I start doing a little more research, you know, like I just Google, you know, Windspear tickets and look at the first thing, and it does have a picture of the Windspear. It's pretty clearly not the Windspear website.
Right.
And it turns out that $40 was the price of every single ticket in the Windspear. That right on the front row, if you had gone to
the Windspear website, if
yes,
you'd gone to the official website, everything was $40.
Yes.
TC, you're hitting on something that I've never really understood, and that is the ticket industry and the secondary ticket industry. I don't really understand how it started, how it works, why we as fans just accept it. I mean, I guess it's a way to control scalping in some ways, but
it seems like it is scalping.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
like
in essence,
someone is receiving $80 extra per ticket on this transaction, or for $40 tickets, they are getting 80 extra for nothing. They have done not a thing. I could have bought those tickets. It's not like they, you know, opened up extra tickets for them or anything. Those tickets were going to be sold anyways.
Why did your girlfriend not go to the official Windspear site?
I think she just typed it in and she thought that was the official Windspear site. Because the thing is that the Windspear, you actually buy it from, it's the AT&T Performing Arts Center website. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, whenever her friends told her, she thought her friend had been duped because she didn't go to the Windspear site, she went to the Performing Arts Center site, when in fact, that's the one they'll, you know, the Majestic, the Meyerson, all that stuff, they all do it through the one site.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't return them. You're stuck.
No, and I mean, I thought, you know, I could go on and I looked to see if there were any still available at $40 and maybe we could unload these on Craigslist for the price that we bought them at. And, you know, there's nothing left except for fourth deck in the back.
At $40.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the end, you've got decent seats.
Yeah.
You just paid a lot more than you should have.
And it's an amount that it keeps me up at night. Like, yeah. I really feel like I have lost sleep over this. And honestly, I don't even like listening to the album anymore because it, like,
oh, no,
just puts, like, a feeling in my stomach of, like, you really got suckered.
You know what? You got to move on and just think, you know what? That's just the price we paid and go enjoy the concert. It'll still be a good experience for you if you can just block out the money thing.
Yeah, no, I'm trying, and it's not till September, so hopefully I can come around to that.
3 months of stress still?
Yeah, but I'm so worried. Will I enjoy this thing I have paid so much for? I think it's my that I care so much about things like that I would check, you know, the email to check for details there, and that I would do all this investigation to find out that they were 40 for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's my fault for not taking it seriously, that I was putting on to others tasks which were very important to me, and this is what happens when, you know.
Chalk it up to a lesson learned.
Yeah.
It's a lesson learned. You should still go and enjoy it. You probably won't, but you still should try. And from here on out, you'll handle all the ticket buying duties.
Bitch.
Whoa.
TC, thanks for that story, and
thanks
for that observation,
wow,
Deck.
Wow, he's so good.
Yes, TC
so
off to
good.
A very good start this morning, and he'll be back at 7:15 with Muse in the News. Right now at 6:43 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
The Unticket.
Ad Radio, Fleming with Muse in the News. You ready for this, TC?
Yeah, yeah. It's a big news day, so that makes it easy.
Good.
Have you guys seen
Well, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you're going to tell me something I don't know.
So much news. So, John Wiley Price, who's the county commissioner that we referenced hours ago when no one who's currently listening was listening then,
mm-hmm.
Who's been serving longer than I've been alive and is described in a Dallas Morning News story as the most important politician ever, I think. The man many consider the most powerful elected official in Dallas County in years.
Mm-hmm. He was on that Dallas top 10 most powerful list.
Really?
Yes.
Was he... So, his top assistant, Anna Late, but this seems like a shockingly solid story they have here. Not to say that they're not normally solid, but odd phrasing, but to apologize.
That's okay.
That they've got some documents pointing out that John Wiley Price has 8 vehicles, and 3 of them, I'm not sure how many vehicles he has in total, but 8 of them at some point, the ownership has been disputed. That it's not entirely clear whose vehicles they were. So to sort out the title, there is a state law that allows for a secret meeting of the county commissioners to be called and just sort it out that way. So John Wiley, I'm not sure if it's him or people he works closely with, but it's someone who he clearly has influence over, meets in secret and says, yeah, I guess this is John Wiley's vehicle. And 3 of them are tied to people who, around the time Price took over, were in county jail or had just been released from county jail. Damon Crow was charged with assault and forgery. The same year, Price took possession of Crow's 1993 BMW 850i. In 2009, Timothy Calverley was charged with drug possession, and records show Price took possession of his 99 GMC truck shortly thereafter. And the real kicker, this is a vehicle that was found at his assistant's house that was in her garage that they had all sorts of nice pictures of on the news. In 2007, Gary Stevens faced a charge of embezzling $1.4 million from Baylor University Medical Center. Records show that 4 days after Stevens was released on bond, Price took possession of Stevens' $130,000 Bentley. And federal agents were quite interested in that car on Monday.
Okay, so... people get in trouble. John Wiley, I'm trying to piece this together. John Wiley knows that he can use his influence as a county commissioner and somehow take possession of their vehicle with really no payment or anything?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly.
That's Channel 8's angle on the thing?
Yeah, it doesn't say exactly how he took possession, just noticing that these are 3 people who went to the county jail, which is something John Wiley has, you know, a certain measure of control over. And shortly thereafter, he ended up with their vehicle in 3 separate cases. And there's been 8 cases of, you know, him being in possession of vehicles where it wasn't entirely clear whose vehicle it was.
So he's in trouble. He's in big trouble, right? Because the feds don't do something like this. They don't go on a raid like this unless they've been doing their homework for years, probably.
Yeah. There is actually a deposition of the former county judge that was in... deposition was held on May of 2009, where he talked about FBI investigators talking to him about John Wiley Price then.
Yeah, and I saw a guy interviewed on the news last night. It may have been the same guy who said they've most likely got wiretapping tapes. They're looking at tax evasion, money laundering, all sorts of fraud. Sounds like it might be a mountain of charges and evidence against John Wiley. And I had no idea that he was being assisted by somebody here at the Ticket. Will you guys, and will every P1, please make it a priority to look at the front page picture of the Dallas Morning News today? The big above the fold picture. It's John Wiley Price, and it's him yesterday at his office.
Oh, my God.
And he is apparently being assisted by Norm. Look at that.
Man, that does look like Norm.
He's got the same profile, nose and all.
Yes, it looks exactly like Norm looks when he's on the phone. So somehow John Wiley is being aided in this situation by Norm. It's the one guy he can turn to.
He's got a little more hair than Norm, but not much. Man.
Is it customer service Norm on the phone there in the picture?
It looks, you know what it looks like? It looks like Norm doing a show prep.
Yeah.
It's like Norm's doing some sort of road show and couldn't find a place, so he's doing some show prep there with John Wiley.
He's imposed upon John Wiley to use his office.
Putting $10 down on the number 4 horse.
I had to do a triple take. I was like, what is Norm doing there? And his? And then I thought, maybe it's an old picture. And
DallasNews.com has the same photo.
Okay, good. DallasNews.com. Check it out. Norm with John Wiley Price.
He was on the road yesterday.
That's right.
I'm not ruling him out.
All right, well, that's an interesting story, and I know that you and everyone in the newsroom will continue to follow it for us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Are you familiar at all with this guy's background and just the general
Oh, yeah, we've been seeing John Wiley bits mm-hmm. for a long time around here.
Just, yeah, that all sorts of... He was in jail. He served jail time mm-hmm. since becoming county commissioner. That that stunned me,
that
George.
That does always happen for a county commissioner, wouldn't
That's
think.
Not what I want from my elected officials. I'd like to say that right now.
All right.
He's a big supporter, too, of our new mayor.
Yeah. Yeah, the mayor was very no comment-y on the whole John Wiley thing yesterday. Because it was a big day for the mayor yesterday, right?
Yeah, sworn in.
Tickets on.
City Hall and stuff. Oh, you're jumping horses now?
Well, no, but we had him on the show last week, so that makes him tickets on.
Okay.
We claim everyone,
yeah.
You see.
Nonpartisan show.
That's right.
So, George, have you heard the big news at your alma mater, R.L. Turner?
No, I guess not.
In the weird turn of events, just totally unheard of in this area, a teacher appears to have slept with a student.
Oh, no.
Not again.
Another one?
Yeah, this was a female teacher, age 33. Her name is Amy Renee Schilling, and I would. The student was a ninth grader.
Ninth grader? Wow. Freshman?
Like, when I was a senior, it seemed weird to go after a ninth grader. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. You're
She's
15
33.
When you're a freshman. Yeah.
I was 14 when I went to high school.
Yeah,
you know?
Could be 14, too.
You're 2 years away. You don't even have a driver's learning permit. But, yeah, she, prior to this, gave him rides home on several occasions and even bought him an iPhone, which she slipped into his backpack and said was a gift for making good grades on tests.
Wow.
Like, just, the first thing I think of is just her going to the AT&T store and buying an iPhone. Like, that seems so uncomfortable. Like, how much thinking and plotting you would have to do to be like, you know, I'm trying to seduce this 14-year-old.
That's a good way to do it.
Mark!
And later that month, after she gave him the iPhone, they were sitting on a couch in the classroom watching a movie after school, and the boy leaned over and kissed his teacher, which led, according to the morning news, to sexual intercourse that day.
Whoa. Mm. Yeah, I'm checking out her mugshot, which is not always the most flattering.
See, I think that's kind of like a floor, right? Like, that's the worst she could look.
Right. And yeah, you're right. Not bad. Redhead, kind of got the Amy Adams thing happening.
Yeah.
Sure. That kid did all right.
On behalf of Andrew McGee, Vanilla Ice, and all R.L. Turner grads, I distance from the story.
Yeah, there's actually a couple R.L. Turner students quoted in this. I was especially impressed by the quote that this news organization was able to gather of one of the students saying, I was like, nah-uh. Not Miss Schilling. N-A-W-U-N-H.
Nuh-uh.
Appeared in the paper. Yesterday. So the Hyatt downtown, they're letting you bring dogs. I know you guys like dogs.
Yeah, but I'd never take one to a hotel.
It's the first luxury hotel in the area to allow it. And I was especially drawn to the determination for luxury. It appears to be that they've won the AAA Ford Diamond Award. And that seems like something Gordon would call the level of quality of this show, right? AAA Ford Diamond.
Mm-hmm. that is kind of a crazy, crazy term.
You're an official hotel. This these shouldn't have fifth grade level nicknames. Rod Blagojevich was found guilty on 17
corruption
charges.
That's it with the dog story?
Yeah, I mean, it was
just a quick
more...
hit.
So you can bring the dog into the room. And do they have just a few rooms designated for pets?
Yeah, they've got rooms set aside, and the big thing is that there's a charge, and part of the charge goes to the SPCA. So
oh, okay.
Let's support
that. Well, that's nice.
And let's support Texas.
I don't want dogs in a hotel, though. I mean, I've stayed in like a Holiday Inn before, like a... roadway, you know, kind of on the highway deal, and there's a family on vacation with their schnauzer that started barking at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I wanted to strangle that dog. Dogs should not be in hotels.
Yeah, but they're not in your room, right?
Yeah, I mean,
but you can hear them.
Yeah, I think they're making efforts to try and keep it to just, you know, like one wing. This is our dog wing, so you won't at least be next to it. Maybe you'll be on the next floor up and still be able to kind of hear it. But
it's a little better, but I'm against it.
How about if they supplied muzzles for the barking dogs early in the morning?
Or they're mute. You know, they just can't speak.
I had a dog that was mute. It was
good
crazy.
One, Fernando.
Was it? TC had one.
All right, I'm sorry. The Blagojevich story?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can't believe this is still going on, right? Like, didn't we all kind of decide that it was pretty clear he did this months, mm-hmm. years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but somehow he's been skating since and even appeared on Celebrity Apprentice.
That seemed crazy to me.
I know
that would be allowed to happen.
Me too.
That is not serving justice. Blagojevich, it was quoted as being stunned that he was found guilty. I don't think he reads the news as closely as we do. There were 17 charges. One of them he was found not guilty on, and the rest, they were deadlocked.
Hmm.
So I'm very confused about the process that goes on after that, right? Like, we just say we can't decide, so we'll move on?
Yeah,
we're
I guess
not worried
so.
About it.
But he still has to pay for the 17 other charges that he was found guilty on, right? So he's looking at serious jail time.
Yeah, yeah, you would hope so. The U.S. attorney, Patrick Fitzgerald, had the very interesting quote of...
Nah, not Miss Schilling.
Yeah. It's a loud and clear message that Governor Blagojevich committed very serious crimes, and the investigation interrupted a political corruption spree that would make Abraham Lincoln roll over in his grave. Do we need to take a stance like that? Like, can't we just say, like, we're really glad we got him? We don't need to embellish with made Abraham Lincoln roll over in his grave. Was he particularly noted as hating the governor of Illinois? I mean, that's a...
Well, he was Illinois' own also, so I guess...
He's on a state.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've...
From Springfield.
I've seen the license plates.
What were they doing? Auctioning off Obama's Senate seat? That's
yeah.
What he was doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what the corruption was, that he was on tape as telling people, you know, mm-hmm. if you pay me, we could talk about this Senate seat stuff.
Wow. I call that dirty politics, TC.
I'm going to agree with you, George. I'm siding with George.
Have you noticed TC's kind of picked up Dan McDowell's cadence?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, he's worked so much, I've even noticed a little Sterminator in him this morning from time to time.
Really?
And I've noticed the disorganization of Gordon also.
Yeah, no.
You're a real hybrid there, TC.
Anytime I'm around anyone who talks at all in a unique way, yeah. I can't help but pick it up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even whenever it wasn't someone who had any broadcasting skill, just like kids in high school. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
Hmm. Donovan?
Yeah, no, I haven't started talking like Donovan yet. That's my comment on that.
All right. Do you have any more stories for us, or what's going on now?
Birthdays.
What's happening?
I mean, we got stories.
What is that person doing down there?
Okay. There was a guy who was out to a nice date. In London, this comes us from the Garden. Garden. Now I'm really
that would be Guardian. The Guardian.
Oh dear.
You know, I mean, like I'm used to talking. You know, like
a lot of us are. Yeah.
Yeah. Though I mean, like the previous segment I did, that was kind of flowed naturally. That was a conversation I would have with someone.
Here
I don't
you feel like a news anchor.
Present
and
the news. Yeah. I've had no training for this.
That's
no
okay.
Training.
You're doing a fine job.
I think it's really showing. Clive Merrifield and a companion, presumably a woman, presumably an attractive woman, I'm imagining this story in my head, were out to a nice dinner. It was an Indian restaurant, and, God, falling apart all
it's
over.
Okay, keep going.
And there was a crying baby next to them. They're at the restaurant after 10 p.m., so they go to the concierge or whatever and say, "What's up with this baby?" And I guess the father of the baby was especially upset by this and responded by taking a bottle of wine that Mr. Merrifield had ordered and smashing it over his head, all because he said, "Your baby is too loud." That is an example of irrational behavior. And I'm mainly telling this story because I want to pass around this photo. This is the man who smashed the bottle, somehow managed to have ripped up his Ed Hardy tee there. Just take a look at that.
Gosh.
I'll try and post that on Twitter, TC1310. We'll have that
Don't
for you.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good one.
This is fresh out of Wise County or something.
Right, why don't we get to birthdays, TC?
Yeah.
I would,
Let's kill
I would
the clock
love
here.
To. Comedian Mel Brooks is 85.
There's some greatness there.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Bates is 63 from The Late Shift. That was a nice movie.
And Misery.
That I saw. Yeah.
Remember her in Misery? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Absolutely.
Scary woman.
Big Stephen King fan. Delightful movie. John Cusack is 45, and also the lead actor in my favorite movie of all time, High Fidelity.
Oh, that is a good movie. Yeah, I like that movie.
Fun fact for you. Bassist Mark Stormer of The Killers is 34.
Wow, there's some greatness there. You a Killers fan?
I would have to say that I'm not.
What,
I think
really?
This show overrates them in a nearly criminal fashion. In my
are you kidding me? TC, what's wrong with you?
Uh-oh.
The Killers are great.
I got opinions, George.
Okay.
After that first album was really disappointing.
All right.
And in light of that, the first album is more disappointing because of it. You know, you ever feel that way about artists or people that make things?
I guess, but...
If they don't follow it up with greatness, then it diminishes the original...
Yeah, it makes you doubt. Yeah.
There's something
to that.
What was
so good about this?
Yeah. I don't know. I think they've grown as a band with their last two, but that's just me. Brandon Flowers is great, too.
Jim Sparnacle is 54. Am I saying that right?
Spanarkle. Former Maverick great. Sparnacle.
He's a lot older than me.
That's okay.
John Elway is 51.
Mm. Greatness.
And George Dunham is 60. You're up to date.
Yes. Happy birthday to Ja.
Thank you, TC. Thank you so much.
Do anything special for your birthday today?
Nothing too big.
What a big honor to be born the day after Bob.
That's right.
Or 2 days after, I guess.
Yeah,
he's
the 26th, wasn't he? Mm-hmm.
And really? To share a birthday with John Elway and Jim Sparnacle.
Yeah.
John Cusack.
Not bad.
All right, TC, nicely done. Thank you. That's Muse in the News, 7:34 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Coming up next, something in the world of sports.
The Unticket.
And the ticket.
We've got special guest stars sitting in for the vacation in Gordo all week. Donovan's going to join us tomorrow. Today it's TC coming up at 8:40. He'll have a funny bit for us.
This is going to be a f***ing disaster.
Then at 8:55, it's a big show coming to town this week. Right now at 8:18, we're going to talk about hitchhiking on the ticket. And you guys are in the presence of a veteran hitchhiker.
Really?
I have had to hitchhike probably... I would say 8 or 10 times in my life, and every time has been on a bike ride when my bike breaks down and I don't have the proper equipment with me to fix it.
And you're how far away from your car or hotel? Miles?
Yeah.
40 miles sometimes?
Yeah, I'd say the most that I've ever been away is probably 20 or 30 miles. One time I guess maybe the first time, I was probably only 12 or 13.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was outside of Oklahoma City, way out in the country, and my chain broke or something. So I had to hitchhike a ride, and this guy picked me up, and he was a nice enough guy, and he let me throw my bike in the back of the pickup, and I sat in the cab with him. But, you know, I'm 12 or 13, and I remember... through this little town, and he sees this woman in real tight shorts, and he hits me on the shoulder and goes, look at that, man, that'll make a man drive straight up a telephone pole. And I'm sitting here at age 12 having to go, yeah, man,
oh yeah,
you're right about that.
You have no idea what he's talking about.
No idea. I just know my chain broke.
I don't know what that means.
Another time, I was deep in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. You know that ride that I like to do from Vanderpool to Lakey?
Mm-hmm.
It was in the middle of July. It's 110 degrees, and I'm going up this steep climb, and my derailleur gets sucked into my rear wheel. So it rips the spokes out of the rear wheel.
Oh,
it bends the derailleur, and I can't even roll my bike. So I'm sitting there on the side of the road 20 minutes, and finally, this RV comes by, and I'm waving with both hands, and it's an old couple, and they just wave and keep going. I'm just waving to be nice. 20 more minutes goes by. The vultures are starting to circle, and this guy pulls up in a pickup, and he's got about what looked like maybe, I don't know, 6 immigrant workers with him, 3 riding in the cab with him, and 3 more in the back, and he says, if there's room in the back, you can throw your bike in the back and sit back there. It's like, okay, my car's about 20 miles up the road. So I get in the back of the pickup with these three guys, and they're just staring at my bike and staring at me and staring at my bike. And finally they go, how much does that bike cost? And, you know, it was, I don't know, this is many, many years ago. It was probably a $1,000 bike.
Whoa.
And I said, $75, $50, I don't know.
Should have scoreboarded them.
No, if I had told them the real value of the bike, they were going to kill me and take the bike and sell it.
Clearly.
Clearly. So this has happened a bunch. I've had people, you know, they take my bike apart and shove it in their trunk, and they take me back to my house or my car. It's happened so many times. Now, it hasn't happened lately, but I'm a veteran hitchhiker, and I've never had an incident. No one's ever tried to do anything, kill me or anything like that.
See, I've never picked up a hitchhiker, and I told you that's the only way I ever would if I saw a stranded biker. But I think only if I still had my pickup truck. I don't.
They can kill people too, George.
Yeah, no, but I just feel I feel a little safer with that, I guess, because knowing Junior as a cyclist, just throw him back there in the back of the truck and get him to where they need to go. But I'd still feel funny about it.
All of a sudden, you hear your cab window open, and the guy takes rope and puts it around your neck.
Yeah, I would have fear about something like that. But man, my brothers, one brother in particular, he used to hitchhike all over the place back in the 70s. In the 70s, and you remember, you go on family trips, there were hitchhikers
all over.
Every 5 to 10 miles, seemed like, on the highway.
Yep.
Of course, my dad would dog cuss him and say, there's no way I'm giving that hippie a ride and stuff like that. But his own son got from Texas to Florida and back hitchhiking.
Wow.
And, you know, back then, that's just, it was kind of free and easy.
Mm-hmm.
When did that stop? When we rolled into the 80s, that hitchhiking just was no longer a way to get around?
You know, you still see them every once in a while, but I think it stopped when the world got seemingly more dangerous. And people were much more, I think sometime in the 80s, when maybe crime was reported more, or people got meaner, or the country got more crowded and angrier.
AIDS. AIDS.
AIDS. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I'm not sure if that's related, TC, but yeah, thank you.
Does that chair just breed AIDS humor there? Is that what it is?
Maybe.
But yeah, I think people are much more hesitant. I know my dad never picked up hitchhikers, and he told us a story of, this is probably in the early 80s, one day he did pick up a hitchhiker, a kid. So the kid got in the car with him, and as my dad said, was completely spaced out on drugs. Couldn't hold a conversation. He was just somewhere else.
He was on the dope.
Yeah, he was definitely on the dope, and my dad suspected cocaine. And, you know, drove with him a couple miles and then told him to get out, and has never picked up a hitchhiker since. And I think that's the image. People, maybe movies, TV had something to do with it, but I think from the 80s on, people saw hitchhikers as dangerous or drugged out.
Yeah. And I never would hitchhike.
You never have?
No.
TC, have you ever?
I was obsessed with it as a kid, that I always wanted to hitchhike home from baseball practice, and my dad would get so mad, but no, I never succeeded.
Jer, Rich, Fernando, you guys ever hitchhike?
Never hitchhiked,
no.
And never been in a car that picked one up.
I've had the show before. Oh, you have? Okay.
My car broke down. I had to have one Sunday morning, actually, when I was driving into work. My car broke down about halfway between home and here, and I had to get a ride into work.
Uh-huh.
But I made the show.
Did the guy try to take advantage of you?
Unfortunately not.
What kind of person was it that picked you up?
This is a good old random boy in a pick-em-up truck.
See, I think the good old boys are more likely to pick you up.
Yeah. Of my, whatever, 8 times, I bet 6 have been good old boys in trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And they've always been nice, never had any problem.
Of course, nowadays, if your car breaks down or something like that, you can just call somebody on your cell phone. But, you know, back even 5 years ago, that was a lot harder to do.
There is something really romantic about it. I mean, I think it'd be kind of cool to hitchhike across the country. If you're sure that you weren't, you know, get strangled or shot, I think that would be a cool way to get from East Coast to West Coast.
Do you pick up the hitchhiker?
No, I never have. Never have.
By the way, I disagree with George. It sounds like a complete beating.
Well, in 100-degree temperatures, yeah.
Whenever you get a ride, you're stuck in a car having to make idle chit-chat with somebody you don't know. I don't need any of that.
You swap stories and just kind of have an experience, man.
No, I have no interest.
There was something in the days of Kerouac and on the road, hitchhiking was very romantic, or jumping a boxcar.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really romantic way to get across the country. There is something that's less romantic about it now, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because that was a simpler time, and so simple things just made sense more than they do today.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I have an inner hippie. I think I'd like to do it at some point. But there's no way you could have the assurances that it'd be safe. And in today's world, I don't know if it is as safe as it was 30 years ago.
I wonder if truckers pick up hitchhikers like they used to.
Yeah, it seems like they used to stop all the time.
Desperate for the company.
Maybe.
Maybe get lucky.
Yeah.
Let's have Gordon do that bit. And if it doesn't work out, we've always got
TC. We lose Gordon. Yeah.
Let's take a couple calls on Hitchhiking Talk to Scott in Louisville. You're on the ticket.
Yes, this is Scott.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
You bet.
You're on the air, Scott.
Hey, you guys. I've got about 30 or 40,000 miles under my belt. And it's fun to do, but it's hard to do. And I've had wonderful times, never had any trouble at all. Florida, Pennsylvania, back and forth. I got started because we had six kids in our family in one car. If you didn't hitchhike, you didn't go. And that's the way it goes. It was fun. I just want to say one thing to George.
Yeah.
There was a seven-day period that Pink was a hot girl, and 7 days later she turned into a dog.
Yeah, I'm with you.
7 days.
I don't know if that was the right time frame, but she did have it going on at one point.
Is it illegal to hitchhike?
Ooh, good question. I don't think it is.
TC, you going to look that up for us?
Look that up for us, TC.
Yeah, run a quick.
I can't imagine it is, since you occasionally get to those areas that are near prisons where you see signs warning you not to pick up a hitchhiker.
Ah, right.
Especially the ones in the orange jumpsuit.
Yeah, because that's near prison would be an escapee.
It's just
often.
Discouraged.
Steve in Fort Worth, you're on the ticket.
Hey, there's a spot outside of Philadelphia where I went to college at Villanova. There's a stretch of about 10 miles where there's maybe a dozen universities, that hitchhiking is still the preferred way to get around because there's so many students that literally just stand outside. Professors will pick you up, local parents. It's the easiest way to get around. It's been like that for 30 years.
Should you charge if you pick up a hitchhiker?
No. You're doing them a favor.
Yeah, but how about a little something for the effort?
Now, if you're a hitchhiker and you want to offer the guy a 20 for gas, but you know what? If you've got a 20 to throw around, you're probably not hitchhiking.
Yeah, just a little something for the effort, maybe $5 or something. I think the hitchhiker should pay some sort of... How about a tip? Everyone else gets tipped. Why can't the guy who picks up the hitchhiker get tipped?
No, I see it as an act of generosity. Mm. There shouldn't be money involved. Trey? Yes, I'm sorry, TC.
Just a quick update on the, on the law.
I sense that chemistry between you guys right there.
I just want to answer your question. It's not illegal in any state. It is a state-to-state thing about what sort of regulations they have, and there are certain states where it's really hard to do within the law. That's Delaware and New Jersey seem to be the big ones, but not illegal.
Thank you, TC.
Back to you.
Trey in Dallas, you're on the ticket.
Hey, guys. At 16, me and my buddy decided we were going to go down to spring break in Houston, so we decided a summer ride. Got picked up by two truckers who bought us beer. Got picked up by a couple of 20-something girls that decided to party with us on the way to Houston. And then we got dropped off at Houston. We got a gun pulled on us by an old-timer thanks to broke into his house because we were walking down the road. It was pretty fun.
What happened about breaking into the house?
Yeah, you broke up a little bit. What happened there?
He thought that we had broken to his house because we were walking down the road at like 3 o'clock in the morning. So we were saying, this old guy comes up with the .38 special, says, you lost me breaking in my house. I'm going to kill you. I said, hey, man, we just came in from Dallas.
Wow, what a day.
I'm sure that exonerated you saying that.
You ain't lived.
Man, we just came in from Dallas.
I say you ain't lived until you've hitchhiked.
Yeah, there may be something to that.
And especially you, George, if you have that desire, you feel like there's an inner hippie that wants to do a little hitchhiking, you should do it.
Maybe I will.
Maybe get home today.
Yeah.
Just riding the thumb.
A P1 would pick you up. Like the story we had not long ago of Bono having to hitchhike and a hockey player picked him up.
Mm-hmm. All right, I just may try that on the way home.
All right, that's Hitchhiking Talk, unless you wanted to add anything, TC.
I'm good.
Okay. It's 8:31 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, and coming up next...
I enlisted the help of some of the wise people around here in how to do the 840 bit.
When you're the all sports, all the...
The Unticket.
You weren't sleeping, were you?
No, I'm just winding down. What's going on? Like, 840 bit, are the Musers in tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah.
Is Gordon not in?
Yeah, just Gordon's on vacation.
Oh. What's Fernando expecting, like a character or what?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just calling people, trying to wake them up and ask them. That's all. That's the only idea I have so far.
Man, I don't know. Just come up with something topical yet entertaining and brilliant. Like, he doesn't always do like a character or something. So just something that's, I don't know, newsworthy and fun and something different. I don't know. I'm not really a lot of help. Kind of a random question this hour. But what are some of the ideas you have?
I mean, just the one about calling people up and asking them, mm-hmm. trying to wake them out of their sleep.
Very nice. Well, you almost caught me, my friend. You almost caught me. But I don't know. Something fun.
Well, cool. Thank you.
All right, bye.
Have you just smoked out, you think?
It's vacation time.
Diamond Talk.
That was funny. He sounded really tired.
Sean trying to help you out. I don't know, something topical.
Yeah, just laying out like the basic premise. Like I've heard A and 840 bit before.
That was funny.
So sticking with the ticker booth, here is Ty Walker.
Hello.
Hey, Ty. Ty, I've got an emergency.
Okay, what's up?
Fernando told me I got to do the 840 bit tomorrow, and I can't think of anything.
You have to do the 840 bit?
Yeah, you weren't asleep, were you?
No. I didn't hear the phone ring until I was out of the room. I saw it ring here. But,
what?
So you're calling me to ask me for 840 bit ideas?
Yeah. If you need anything.
Like you have to follow through with it. You're just not just the idea man. You have to do it. Right?
Yeah, I got to do something.
Oh dear. Why have they put this on you tomorrow?
Gordon's on vacation.
Okay. Wow. Geesh, I don't know. I'd have to think about that for a little bit. That's interesting.
Yeah. So far, all I got is trying to call people and get them out of bed and ask them if they have any ideas. That's my only idea so far.
That's your only idea.
I like how both he and Sean laughed at it, but then like kept on going.
Right.
Like, you know, the only reason I called right. was to see if you were awake.
It's just too late at night for them to really get it.
Like they both laugh, but then just immediately follow that up with some ideas.
Yeah.
And the thing that really got me going on this is just wanting to call Saroy that he, you know, as you know, yes, from yesterday, he played a prank on my roommate and podcast partner Jake, and I feel like we have to have solidarity. That there needs to be a small tactical strike back. So here is the one that made me really want to do this. Here's the call to Saroy, which I have to say took like I rang his phone 6 or 7 times.
Oh no!
Hey, buddy.
Hello?
Hey, Mike, it's an emergency.
What's up?
Hey, I just, Fernando just told me I gotta think up an 840 bit. I don't have any ideas.
Are you doing it tomorrow?
Yeah.
840 bit. Alright.
You weren't asleep or anything, were you?
No, I was laying in bed, but no, I wasn't asleep. It was more just I wouldn't have answered, but,
why not, man?
I was just laying in bed. I was going to bed. I don't know. Were you got any ideas? Any leads?
No, I just call people, try and get them out of bed, and ask them what I should do.
Oh, now I know what you're doing.
That was my only...
You bastard.
What?
All right. Good luck to you.
Cool. See you.
Yeah.
So he at least caught on.
Yeah.
Ty and Sean are still up trying to think.
Yeah, Ty at the end told me that he would call me if he thought of anything. I didn't receive the calls. So must still be thinking about it. Here is the most high profile person that I thought would take it well enough that I wouldn't be fired. Here is me calling Corby.
Hello.
Hey, Corby.
Yo.
Hey, it's me, TC. I have an emergency.
What's up, man?
Fernando told me I got to do the 840 bit tomorrow, and I can't think of anything.
Shut up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally out of ideas. I didn't wake you up, did I?
Yes.
Do you have anything?
Not off the top of my head, TC.
I mean, just like anything you got stored up.
No, I don't. Like, man, I'm trying to think. You really have to do it.
Yeah.
Dude, I really don't know.
I mean, come on. It depends on it, you know?
It depends.
Are you recording this right now, TC?
Yeah. I told you, I got to do the 840 bit.
So you're recording me?
Yeah.
God. And I defend you at every turn.
I'm calling my whole Rolodex.
Idiot. Either way, I don't know. I'm sitting here with my wife staring at me, so.
Uh-oh.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe you or not, but I commend your effort.
Thank you. I love you. Then here is my absolute favorite. It's, you know The Orphanage? You ever heard of The Orphanage?
Yeah. Sure.
It's a show on the weekends.
Danny and Davey.
Yeah, and I'm the volunteer producer for the show, and over the past couple months, I think Dave recently realized that all of those aggressions he built up every time Gordon made fun of him on the rant,
mm-hmm.
he finally had someone to take them all out on. So
he slaps you around.
Yeah, yeah. The past month, every time the mic goes on, it's something. So I thought that that he seemed like a prime candidate to really enjoy a nice call, and I think he did.
Hello.
Hey, Dave, it's TC. I got an emergency.
Well, what's up?
Fernando told me I got to do the 840 bit tomorrow, and I can't think of anything.
Oh, that's great.
Well, good job, TC. I think you did a good job with the 840 bit.
Hey, that's...
You woke up five different people. Good job.
That was my favorite reaction, and the most confusing part of that whole bit was when Ty told you that he didn't hear the phone ring, but he came into the room and saw it ringing.
He might have had the ringer off. I've done that before.
Okay. Good stuff, TC.
Yeah, way to go, TC. Way to go. 8:51 here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Up next, we'll determine the biggest show coming to town.
The Unticket.
Yeah, biggest show coming to town this week.
It's 9 o'clock here on The Ticket, and time for the biggest show coming to town. We have 8 candidates, and what we're going to do this morning is run through the next 2 weeks, because we have this week to look at, and then next week, George, Gordon, and I are all on vacation. So we've got 2 weeks worth of big shows to vote on here in this segment. We have 8 candidates. Candidate number one is this Saturday night at the Verizon Theater, Grand Prairie, Wiz Khalifa.
Huh? TC?
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
Oh, black and yellow. Yeah, okay.
You know what it is.
You should check out Huey Newton. It's a great song by them.
I don't think so. I'm familiar with this one.
But I'm saying you should check it out.
Oh, I should check it out. Oh, okay. What's it called?
Huey Newton.
Okay.
Wiz Khalifa was born Cameron Jabril Thomas with a Z instead of an S. He is from Minot, North Dakota. Odd place for a rapper to start.
Yeah. This song's huge. At least it was a couple months ago. I don't know if it still is.
Yeah, no, it's probably a year old at this point.
Is
I mean,
it
took a while to blow up. They weren't a name artist before this.
Are they still playing it on our sister station?
I don't think
I-93?
So. I don't know that I-93 ever jumped on that bandwagon.
Oh, yeah, I think I heard it on there.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so, because Kiss was playing it a bunch.
Seems a little hard for them. They say the word ho in there.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah.
They have to beat that out.
Oh, yeah.
Made it to number one on the U.S. charts, not just the rap charts, but the U.S. charts.
What?
What is this?
This is Huey Newton.
It's Toto.
No, this is the...
No, it's Deep Park Harry.
This is the song Huey Newton.
fast living, good weed, bad women.
What a ripoff. Just sampling.
Oh, okay. Oh,
okay.
How quickly am I going to have to jump out of this, TC?
Heard the song 27 years ago, and I thought it was cool, so I thought I'd do a rap over it and make some money.
No, better.
So who, that was Toto?
Yeah, that was, that was their hook, and then they just...
So he got permission from Toto to...
Probably not.
No, I think they get a... It's probably not Toto. It's Toto's rights holder. Like, it's likely that Toto didn't have any say in it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they paid someone.
All right, that's Candidate 1. Candidate 2, biggest show coming to town this week. Sunday night at the House of Blues, Cinderella.
Hey now.
There you go, Rich.
All right. This song sucks, by the way.
Dude. But you like them?
I really only was into their first album. After that, they kind of tried to get too bluesy, I thought. But that first album, I wore out the cassette back in about 1986. And I did see them about 5 or 6 years ago at some hair metal fest, and they still got it together.
Really?
Yeah, their lead singer, Tom Keeper, it still sounds just like this, plays guitar, they all look like they enjoy themselves, and they got it together.
Could use a better vocal mix on this recording.
Sorry.
I'm not saying your version, it's just like you can barely hear their vocals.
Heard that song? Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing wrong with Cinderella.
Solid 80s hair metal.
Right.
Telling you, man, all those groups for me just run right together.
Really?
Yeah.
I always like to play Name That Hair Metal Band.
Yeah, they also
the Hair Nation channel on satellite radio. I play that in the car all the time.
Hair Nation.
Name That Hair Metal Band. And I embarrassingly know way too many.
Our candidate number 3. Sorry, I skipped the date on this one. This is actually, should have been Candidate 1 because it's this Friday night. Friday night at the Windstar Casino in Thackerville.
Yep.
It's a twin bill, Keith Sweat and Salt N' Pepa.
Donovan will be there.
I like Salt N' Pepa.
So do I. Let's get out of here.
You like Salt N' Pepa, TC?
Oh, yeah.
You were a little kid when this came out, weren't you?
Yeah, this was... This is
early
the sort
90s?
Of music the kids like, yeah. I listened to Kiss FM at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They played this all sorts over it. Don't analyze it.
Did you go to dances in high school, TC?
No, I went to a... I got sent away to boarding school because I did too many drugs as a 14-year-old.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, what a story.
That's so quite a story.
Yeah, we didn't have any dances. We had a prom. But it was really weird.
Boarding school?
Yeah.
Too many drugs?
Yeah.
Wow.
What were you taking?
I mean, mainly marijuana. And it was mainly because I was a jerk when I was 14 to my parents and they didn't want to...
Took too many marijuana?
...mess with that anymore.
Hmm. He took too many marijuana.
I almost OD'd.
Oh, that's not a laughing matter.
On marijuana. It's a joke because you can't...
Oh,
you
okay.
Can't on marijuana.
But you meant something else?
No.
Oh, well, that's kind of a downer, but...
Glad he turned out.
Yeah.
It turned out great for TC.
He's doing morning drive radio in a top 5 market.
He met bad radio, and the rest is history. And he loves Salt and Pepper.
All right, Candidate 4, biggest show coming to town this week and the next 2 weeks. Monday night, July 4th. This may be an all-day sucker, actually, at Billy Bob's in Fort Worth. It's Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic.
Whiskey River, take my mind.
Featuring, of course, Willie Nelson. With the likes of Leon Russell, David Allen Coe.
There were some hot sports opinions being thrown out there.
Oh, yeah. And some others.
That's pretty big that Fort Worth has this now.
So this used to be down in the hill country in Leukenbach, right? The big field outside of Leukenbach?
I think it was Carl's Corner for a while.
It was at Carl's Corner. It used to be on his ranch. Last year it was in Austin. So he's moved it around several different places.
He needs more money for his legal bills.
He could have used the Excel Academy.
Yes.
You a fan of Willie Nelson?
Where is the Excel Academy?
It's in Conroe, Texas, north of Houston.
Uh-huh.
What district were you guys in?
We didn't play many sports.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah. We were right by Conroe High School, which I believe Craig is the Tigers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you, was it like a military type boarding school or real strict?
Yeah, it was real strict. Yeah. No, it was,
Did you have to wake up at 6 o'clock every morning and run or...
Yeah, no, we did calisthenics, but not at 6 a.m. But yeah, we woke up at 6 a.m.
Make your bed.
Yeah. Learned how to do hospital corners.
Probably private pile.
Yep. We wore jumpsuits. I was thinking about it whenever you were talking about the hitchhiking thing. That was, you know, the situation where I most likely would have needed hitchhiking, but we were in jumpsuits some of the time, not the whole time.
And it turns you around. It straightens you out.
Yeah. I mean, I would enjoy a great debate about whether or not that turned me around or just the mere fact that I was no longer 14 years old turned me around. Mm-hmm. But
14 was your tough year?
Yeah, you know. And I feel like anyone changes a lot from 14 to 18, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably enough of that. Yeah. Let's move on
to
candidate number 5.
More times.
Biggest show coming to town. This is next Wednesday, July 6th at the House of Blues, Natasha Bedingfield. She's very hot.
Is she?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar. I've heard this song.
What's the name of this song, Jerry?
Unwritten.
Unwritten.
See, she just said it.
She also had a big hit, Pocket Full of Sunshine. Is that the Pocket Full of Sunshine? Oh. You know that one? I made it to number 5 on the U.S. charts.
Yeah.
I like this song.
Right.
Just like I sang.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Where's this?
House of Blues. Mm. Week from tomorrow night. Yeah, that's a good song. I like that song. All right, candidate number 6, Friday night, July 8th at the Lone Star Park in Grand Prairie. After the races, it's Lone Star. Lone Star at Lone Star Park.
I like them. I don't know if this is their best song. They're good.
Maybe go to
Guys from Garland and around these parts.
Maybe do some slow dancing.
Yeah.
One of those little step dances.
See if you got Everything's Changed in there, Jer. Everything's Changed except for the way I feel about you.
They've had 8 number one hits on the country charts.
Yeah, they did real well about 10, 15 years ago. They had some big hits.
Yeah, turn of the century.
We ran into them 99 Stars Training Camp. They were staying at our
longer available.
Same hotel.
Really. Oh, really?
Yeah, I got to meet them. Yeah, they're really nice guys.
Our candidate number 7, biggest show coming to town the next 2 weeks, Friday, July 8th at the American Airlines Center, Rihanna. When the sunshine, we shine
together. Told you I'll be here forever. Now, she's big on that I-93 right now.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty hot.
Hey. She's got a leg for days.
She always wears very revealing outfits.
Yeah.
Do you see that do a little something for you?
The hair color recently really throws me off. I don't mean to be too picky.
Like the bright red thing?
Yeah.
It changes with her.
But overall, thumbs up.
And finally, candidate number 8. A week from Saturday, this is July 9th, at the Verizon Theater, Cedric the Entertainer.
I think that dude is funny.
I do, too.
I wouldn't mind seeing his stand-up.
Funny comedian, funny actor.
Do we have any, or is it too too many beeps?
I'd pull away from that one.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
that's all right.
He's funny.
So let's vote. 8 strong candidates for the biggest show coming to town the next 2 weeks. Is it candidate number 1, Friday night at the Windstar, Keith Sweat and Salt and Peppa? Candidate 2, Saturday at the Verizon Theater, Wiz Khalifa. Candidate 3, Sunday at the House of Blues, Cinderella. Candidate 4, Monday, July 4th at Billy Bob's, Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic. Candidate 5, Wednesday the 6th at the House of Blues, Natasha Bedingfield. Candidate 6, Friday at Lone Star Park. That's Friday, July 8th, Lone Star.
Confusing.
Candidate 7, Friday, July 8th at the American Airlines Center, Rihanna. Or Candidate 8, Saturday, July 9th at the Verizon Theater, Cedric the Entertainer. George.
Rihanna.
TC, your first ever vote in the Big Show coming to town.
Don't screw it up.
Biggest show, I would have to agree with George. Rihanna.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Rich.
Rahoney.
Okay. Jer.
Rihanna. Anna. Anna.
Fernando.
Anna. Rihanna.
Anna.
Me too. So as it should be, unanimously, Rihanna, next Friday the 8th at the American Airlines Center. Had Gordo been here today, he would have voted for Cinderella, probably.
Probably, yeah. All right, what's next in TC's corner?
We going to do the reaction, or I've also got stuff about UFOs. Make the choice, George.
Possible reaction, and then say UFOs.
Yeah, we got unidentified flying objects.
Okay, let's do that next.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket on
The Unticket.
Ticket, and it is time for Gordo's Corner, brought to us by the Snoring Center and Dallas Dodge Chrysler Jeep. Gordo on vacation the rest of the week. We have special guest stars sitting in for him each day. Tomorrow it's going to be Donovan. On Thursday it's going to be The Killer. And on Friday, Robert Wolanski from the Dallas Observer. And today it's been TC sitting in for Gordo doing the ODEC, Muse in the News.
TCs are all right.
An 840-bit. And now The Corner.
Yeah, so let's meet expectations here. Go with the alien story. Russian scientists, who I still find highly untrustworthy, have promised us a sports promise that within 20 years, we will encounter extraterrestrial civilizations.
How could they possibly know that?
Yeah, what do they base that on?
The genesis of life is as inevitable as the formation of atoms. This is from Andre Finkelstein. Very Russian name.
Are you kind of having flashbacks to Napoleon saying, Japanese scientists explode?
Life exists on other planets, and we will find it within 20 years. Write it down, Jubb. That's a sports promise.
Okay.
That's the quote from Andre Finkelstein. He's at the Russian Academy of Sciences Applied Astronomy Institute, which I imagine is something like the University of Phoenix for Russia.
Now, see, we've had this debate on the show before. I happen to believe these scientists. I don't know about the 20-year time period, but I'm pretty sure that at some point, I would say in the next 100 to 200 years, we will confirm life out there.
No, I'm a big fan of your coast-to-coast program.
Thank you, TC.
So I figured this story would appeal to you and I equally, maybe really build that wonderful chemistry that we share.
Yes. Well, let's see where this goes. See, if you came to me and said, all right, you have to bet your life, someone puts a gun to my head, you got to bet your life on whether there is life somewhere else in the universe, intelligent life, I would say yes.
I would too.
And if the person who holds the gun knew the answer, I'm guessing that my life would be spared because I believe I'd be correct.
Eastern, I would say yes too, but I think there's a good chance that we'll never make contact.
Ever?
Ever.
In the history of mankind. Mm-mm. Why do you say that?
How much longer do you give us get some context?
I'll give you 1,000 years.
We've only got 1,000 years left?
Let's party.
Well, you can take all the time you want. The history of man. Yeah, I don't think we're gonna make contact. Too far.
Now I'm very excited by the 2 decades proclamation, especially from such a respected scientist, but he really downs me here when he says aliens would most likely resemble humans with 2 arms, 2 legs, and a head. They may have different color skin, but even we have that.
Interesting.
I don't like that. I want them to have 5 arms.
Yeah.
I want to have, like, 7 different sets of eyes.
See, it's that egocentric thinking that when we encounter other life, they're going to look kind of like us. And I've never thought that. I think, like you, that they're going to look like these crazy creatures or they're going to be incredibly microscopic. Who says they're on the same scale as us?
Mm.
Who says they're all 4 feet to 7 feet tall? I think they could be microscopic to where they're around us right now, but we don't even know it.
Ooh. You know, you're broadcasting here with one right now.
Or
wasn't there a cartoon with a little Martian? What was that little cartoon?
Marvin the Martian?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that and there's one that would always appear on the wing of the plane, or was that something else?
That was Twilight Zone.
Yeah, with Bill Shatner. That was a great episode.
That was.
In Men in Black, Japanese they had the
explosive detonators at the bottom of Lake Loch Ness.
To blow Nessie out of the water.
Please protect our underwater ally. So yesterday there was this whole big thing, moving on from X-Files theme stories. There was a big brouhaha with a woman who had a 95-year-old mother, and she was taking her 95-year-old mother on a trip somewhere via plane. She's in a wheelchair, and she also depends on the adult diaper to take care of her bathroom needs.
Oh, yeah, Gordo had this story yesterday.
Yeah, and, well, there's a development.
Oh, there's a development. Okay,
good. Update. Yeah, no, that the TSA has spoken out. I just want to update you on the story.
Okay, good.
That
fresh news.
And now, an update from TC on the adult woman diaper story thing.
That the TSA says that they did not require her to remove the diaper. That they've reviewed their actions, and they give two thumbs up.
So they're poo-pooing the story?
So they're saying that the initial report was a load of crap?
Gosh.
I like yours better.
I liked yours, too.
Sorry, TC.
So how did the initial story get out? Did the woman's daughter make it up?
Well, the woman's daughter is finding this to be a very dishonest phrasing. That she says that she was given a choice, but the choice was take off the diaper or don't get on the flight. So they didn't require her to take off the diaper, but if you want to get on the flight, you better do it.
Right.
So I think this is yet another instance of people in control taking abusing us citizens, Craig.
All right, back to you, TC.
Y'all do have amazing chemistry.
In politics, there's a woman named...
I was very Ed Carter.
I love your... It was Ed Carter. I love your transition.
And women's vocal.
And boom goes the dynamite.
That's all I can think of. The entire time I hear myself talk, I just have the boom goes the dynamite thing running in my head.
You're doing way better than him.
Yeah. Michelle Bachmann kicked off her presidential campaign on Monday in Waterloo, Iowa. And she said that she hopes that the her campaign mimics the spirit of Waterloo's own John Wayne. The only problem is there is now a great controversy as to which John Wayne she technically was speaking of. It's clear that she meant John Wayne, the actor.
The Duke.
Yeah. And his parents lived in Waterloo for a little bit, but so far as we know, he's never even, you know, been to Waterloo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whereas...
So she starts her campaign with a gaffe?
Yeah, yeah. Whereas John Wayne Gacy...
Oh, no.
...spent a great amount of time in Waterloo. His first arrest was there.
Uh-oh.
Before he moved to Illinois and began a string of murders.
Oh, no.
Don't Gordo like that.
You know, she is in the first poll to come out of Iowa. She was running neck and neck with Mitt Romney, very surprisingly. And way ahead of Pawlenty and some others that Gingrich and others that they thought would be up there. Does she actually have kind of a chance?
I think she does.
Is the Tea Party thing
I think
gaining
that's
traction?
To get a woman in there. Sarah Palin and now this woman.
She's kind of hot.
Yeah, she's not bad.
TC, does she do something for you?
You know, although I am your politics reporter, I'm not totally familiar with what she looks like.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
All right, I'll forward you a picture. Actually, there are some available on the internet.
I'll just wait in silence for that email.
Google it.
Well, certainly. Okay, so John Wayne, the actor, was born in Winterset, Iowa.
Which I think is a 3 hours drive from Waterloo.
Certainly she didn't mean John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
Let's cut her a little slack there.
Yeah, we know her intention, but... this seems like a Paul Revere-level gaffe to me.
I don't put it on that level.
I guess maybe because it's not so well known. Like, it's not like you know immediately where John Wayne is from where...
Hey, but right. When you hear John Wayne, what do you think? Your generation?
I don't know. Old F?
You thought actor? Gay. Okay, but you thought actor. You didn't think serial killer.
No. No, I heard John Wayne and I thought John Wayne.
Okay.
You gotta add the Gacy before. Yeah. He's the clown painter. You paint all those clowns. You should know, George. We're both from Chicago.
Yeah, I know. I'm not real familiar with his...
He's our most notable serial killer.
Really?
Yeah.
More bodies than Al Capone?
That would be an interesting study.
Let's see. 33 teenage boys he raped and killed. Mm. 26 were in his crawl space of his home.
Good night.
And the neighbors, I believe, complained about the smell for quite a bit before he was found, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's...
sick. Those guys get way too much pub.
And the more you look into him, the more it's surprising how many times someone really had to screw up to allow them to continue what they were doing. Like with him, the smell, with, that Ted Bundy was caught, that he escaped from Colorado jail. He escaped from jail twice and then went on to commit murders. Jeffrey Dahmer was, police were standing there with him next to one of his victims.
Mm-hmm.
Who was still alive at the time.
See why I'm a little creeped out by TC?
He knows
all this
way
stuff.
Too much.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's why TC's always creeped me out a little bit.
Jeffrey Dahmer!
I want to know how to avoid the path, George, so I need to know what the path looks like so I can walk down
the
other one.
That's always Gordo's excuse,
too. Very sound thinking.
So this whole Whitey Bulger thing, you guys, I don't want to just repeat information.
I'm impressed that he was able to stay on the loose for that long.
Yeah, but I just what are the facts that have been reviewed, and just give me a full summation of
Yeah, we haven't talked about it.
I think I'm the one who mentioned
Gordo stayed away from it.
Yeah.
Well, he's trying to say that he claims indigence, and that would give him free legal counsel. And everyone's finding that real tough because they found $800,000 in cash in his apartment. And he was caught, or he's documented as taking several gambling trips to Las Vegas. He would go down to San Diego, cross into Tijuana, and get some expensive medical treatment, though I guess less expensive, since that's the whole point of going to Tijuana, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder about the mechanics of him getting over the border. It seems like if I were someone like that, I would stay as far away from something like the border.
I know.
Well, he even went back to Boston a few times. He's a bold guy.
Yep. And apparently he's a celeb in prison.
Oh, I would think so, right?
Yeah.
Anyone who's been played by Jack Nicholson?
So he could still have you killed, right? He still has contacts?
Oh, yeah. Better be careful what you say,
TC. I bet not. I bet not, because I guess we'll know by tomorrow.
That's TC talking.
So you're saying he couldn't touch you. Is that what you're saying?
Henry Hill was in studio, and I realize that's a different situation. He didn't stay in the mob, but no one could get him. Mm-hmm. Henry Hill, the subject of Goodfellas, who turned state's witness and ratted out all of the people he was working with, who were the masterminds of the Lufthansa heist, and he goes around, does public appearances, and he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that
so you're saying Whitey Bulger could not touch you. It's TC versus Whitey.
Come get some.
Oh my God!
Wow.
Oh, wow. Man.
All right, on that note, we'll wrap up a very successful edition of The Corner. Thank you, TC. Good stories there. And fine work all day long. We'll review your work here in about 20 minutes.
Same to you, Craig, on the fine work. Oh. I'll have no review.
Oh, thank you. Well, feel free to review me, too. All right, 9:30 on The Ticket. Coming up next, it's Evan and the Ranger Report.